The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 27th through Sunday, March 5th, 2023. The commentary for the month of February was written by Paige Pelfrey, a member of Christ Church in Guilford, Connecticut, where she lives with her three children and two cats. She teaches high school, world languages, and is passionate about mission, community service, and finding scripture and the baptismal covenant in everyday life. The commentary for the month of March was written by Rob Gielsman, an Episcopal priest currently serving St. Stephen's, Belvedere, California, and a writer also educated in law and economics. The father of two grown children, Rob experiences God most digging in black soil or trotting well-worn paths through the countryside with his two dogs. The commentary for Monday, February 27th, begins as follows. This is from a passage from the book of John, chapter 2, verse 5. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Here's the commentary. Moms know their children and what they are capable of. By the time this wedding in Cana rolled around, Mary had already been told by an angel that her baby was chosen for something amazing. She gave birth to him out of town in a stable and had shepherds and stargazers travel to see the newborn. Under threat, she fled with the child to another country and then lost him for 3 days when he was 12. So, yes, she knows what she's talking about when she says, "Do whatever he tells you." When the servants do as Jesus requests, there is plenty of wine for all. Imagine if we responded the same way to Jesus' request in our lives. Sometimes I feel Jesus in a simple nudge. Take that class or introduce yourself to that new colleague. Other times, Jesus has bigger requests. Now is the time to let go and move on. And the hardest one for me, forgive yourself. Every day is another opportunity to listen to Jesus. So go to the Sunday school class, sign up for the holy hike, volunteer on a mission trip. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Even his mother said so. And now we're going to read the full scriptural passages for this day. It is from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there for a few days. And the moving forward question for this day, what is Jesus telling you to do today? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, February 28th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 45 in the Old Testament, verse 1. My heart is stirring with a noble song. Let me recite what I have fashioned for the king. My tongue shall be the pen of a skilled writer. Here's the commentary. I have been reading forward day by day for more than 5 years. My grandmother started her day with reflections, too. She would be upstairs reading, and we would hear a bang on the kitchen ceiling. Granddaddy would say, she's ready for her coffee, and take her some while she continued her devotions. She kept the little booklets all over the house and one in the car. She gave me the gift of reflective reading, writing, and sharing with others. I am honored that I have a turn to share my thoughts with you. All of the forward day-by-day writers, like the psalmist, have had their hearts overflowing with themes and stories to share with others. I try to look at everything around me through the lens of Scripture and my baptismal covenant. I hope some of that was evident this month. I am grateful that I grew up in the Episcopal Church and for the opportunity to pour out these stories and experiences and share them with you all. My pen and heart are ready for more. And now I'll read the full scripture for today from the book of Psalms, chapter 45. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your glory and majesty. In your majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and to defend the right. Let your right hand teach you dread deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people with all kinds of wealth. The princess is decked in her chamber with gold-woven robes. In many colored robes she is led to the king. Behind her the virgins, her companions, follow. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In the place of ancestors, you, O king, shall have sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be celebrated in all generations. Therefore the peoples will praise you forever and ever. And the moving forward statement and question for this day is, have you considered writing your own daily meditations? Journal each day this week and see what the Spirit is stirring within you. The commentary for Wednesday, March 1st begins with a passage from John chapter 2, verse 24. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust to them, because he knew all people. Have you ever met a person and known intuitively what kind of person he or she was? Kind or menacing? Angry or happy? John tells us that Jesus was intuitive that way. He could sense the substance of a person, every person. Nicodemus approaches Jesus at night. I've heard some people speaking negatively of Nicodemus because he came to Jesus by night, fearful. But I find Nicodemus to be inspiring, very human. Few people approached Jesus by day or night, except to criticize or challenge him. Jesus clearly senses something about Nicodemus, and he engages with him, answering his questions. "You must be born from above," Jesus tells him. Don't we all long for this type of rebirth? For this profound sense of being known by God, inside and out, intuitively, just like Jesus knew Nicodemus. Jesus accepts Nicodemus, but promises more. You must be born from above, which of course means you can be born again. Jesus fulfills this promise to us every day. And now I'm going to read from this full scriptural passage. It begins with John chapter 2, verse 23, and continues through chapter 3, verse 15. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished when I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, what does it mean to you to be born from above? Now let's turn to the meditation for Thursday, March 2nd. It begins with a very famous passage from John chapter 3, verse 16. Of course you know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Jesus came into the world to give eternal life, and Jesus came into the world for the world. But what do we mean by eternal life? Is it something that begins when our earthly life is over? Is there a demarcation between our finite human life and the eternal life offered by Jesus through his sacrifice on the cross? I cannot help but wonder, when all is said and done, whether the metaphysics of life beyond the grave is far beyond St. Peter checking names at the pearly gates and our finding streets paved with gold. It is much more indeed. It is incomprehensible to our human understanding. And, guess what? Eternal life has already begun. In a collect for peace in our prayer book, we proclaim that to know you is eternal life. To know God and God's knowing me, inside and out, accepting me completely. Eternal life here and now and always. And now I'll read the full scripture from this passage from John 3, verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. And the moving forward question for this day, what words or images come to mind when you think about eternal life? The commentary for Friday, March 3rd, begins with a passage from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart, and do not be stubborn any longer. People say I can be stubborn, and I suppose I can be. It isn't so much that I like to win arguments, though I can hold to an opinion like a dog with a bone. Younger me would argue not so much to be right as to hear an opposing view spoken out loud, either by who I am arguing with or by myself. I am an audible processor. Speaking is how I explore the world. That explains at least some of my bullheadedness. The people of God seem bullheaded too. Were they exploring their faith, expanding their love of God, or were they just plain bullheaded? Exuding love and adoration, this reading from Deuteronomy reveals God as one who cares so much that God not only accepts you as you are, regardless of your stubbornness or some other faith-expanding or faith-contracting trait, but also invites you to love in return. Love God and welcome all who might be less than you or more than you. We are all wanderers and strangers on this earth. And now the full passage from Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 through 22. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors alone, and chose you, their descendants, after them, out of all the peoples, as it is today. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart, and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, him alone you shall worship. To him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. And the moving forward question, what makes you respond with bullheadedness? Ask God for love, patience, and understanding. The commentary for Saturday, March 4th, begins with a passage from John chapter 4, verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. The time is coming, Jesus tells the woman at the well, when worship will be by spirit and truth and not by location. I used to sit on a local interfaith organization's board of directors. Each year, the organization held an interfaith prayer breakfast. One year, three different practitioners, one Christian, one Muslim, and one Buddhist, led the group in prayers according to the tradition of each. Guess what? God showed up even in the Buddhist silence, not intentionally directed toward God. God above me, God beneath me, God beside me. So many people of faith imagine God to be theirs and theirs alone, but here Jesus is correcting his own people by welcoming the outsiders, Samaritans. God values those who worship with heart, in spirit, and in truth. And now the full passage from today's Gospel, John 4, 1-26. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus' making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out of his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one who you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Your worship, what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. And the moving forward question, what might the world look like if we choose not to parse God? And the commentary for Sunday, March 5th, the last program for the last date for this program, Romans 4:3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. The Apostle Paul recognizes human fallibility, that people act in ways they'd rather not and fail to act in ways they ought to. Faith nonetheless connects one through Christ to God. On the other hand, the writer James claims that one's faith is disclosed by one's works. The rope of faith, then, is a tangled knot. You cannot earn grace, as it is a gift, yet failure to exercise your faith diminishes grace. When my daughter was 3 or 4 years old, she would not jump into my arms like other children. Rather, I would get down on my knees, hold out my arms to her, and invite her to come for a hug. She would make her way over to me and gently lean into me. Faith is not knowledge of the brain, as in, I think God exists, nor does faith consist of doing the right thing. Rather, faith is about leaning into God. Faith, you see, begins in the solar plexus, yet we consistently treat it as though it originates in the brain. Try leaning into God today, giving yourself to God, trusting in God by faith in Christ. And the full passage for today is from Romans 4, verse 1 through 5. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. And the moving forward question for this day, how can you lean into God today? Through prayer, worship, music, art? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world, knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org.